All right, so the days of Noah. I want you to know something. I've heard this when you know, when you talk about Noah, when you talk about Abraham, when you talk about Moses, a lot of people will say, I heard the story of Moses when I was a kid. You know, and they almost look at this as a child's story. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, absolutely. Moses, the story of Moses speaks to a child. The story of Abraham speaks to a child. The stories, all the stories of the Old Testament, Moses, you know, the plagues of Egypt, all this. Yes, they speak to a child and they should speak to you as a child. But when you are an adult, they have a message for you right where you are. Oh, I don't think you're as enthusiastic as I think you should have been about that. It's not a child's story, it is an adult story. It's a story that reaches across all boundaries, across all race, across all ages, and it has something to say to every individual. That's what I love about the Bible. It's so interesting. You can read a verse or talk about a verse with someone, and you get one thing, and they completely get a different thing. And that's called the Holy Spirit, unless they're out of their mind crazy about it. You know what I'm saying? There are those people. But the Holy Spirit can take a word and change it directly for you. Tailor it for you. And I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I so enjoyed when you said this at service. And I'm like, yeah, say that again. And I'll write it down. And I thought, man, I must have said that. That's awesome. I wish I would have. And so then I go back and listen to the tape and figure out, I never said that. I'm glad I got credit for it, but I never said it. The Lord can take a message and tailor it right for you and speak to your heart exactly what needs to be said, whether I say it or whether I don't. Whether you read a scripture, it can mean one thing for somebody and mean something else to someone else. That's the power of the Word of God. All right. Let's turn, this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and say this. When we talk about the days of Noah, there's a lot of questions we're not going to answer. Oh, I know. Single tears. A lot of fans. We're not going to figure out how big the ark was. It was big. But we're not going to figure out how big it was. Now, we're not even going to, you know, discuss all of it, what a cubic was, you know, because he built by cubics. We're not going to figure out how they kept the ark clean. We're not going to discuss how they were able to eat supper with that stench. That's funnier than you get led on. And so we're not going to discuss all that. And if your doctrine came from the recent movie. You know, I'm amazed. Christians, they make me laugh all the time, but I think we should. But, you know, everyone got so upset about the Moses movie. Noah. I'm going to do that probably a lot throughout this entire service. But Noah movie. So many people got upset. And I find it hilarious that people get upset about Christian movies for several reasons. Unless it's just pure out, you know, blasphemous, you know, whatever, then, yeah, I can understand that. If they're saying things about Jesus or whatever that never happened. But it's a movie, for God's sakes. It's that you don't go to a theater, except church, to get your doctrine. Hello? I mean, what was all that Left Behind? They just did a new one. No one got upset that Left Behind was able to get so fantasible with all theirs and some of it wasn't doctrine. No one cared. You know what? Because we don't go to movies to get our doctrine. We go to the Word of God. It's a movie. So if you got real upset, you don't have to watch it. Don't go watch it, okay? It's fine. Just don't go watch it. But, you know, I had someone say, well, people are going to believe that that was the truth. Yeah, and we have words for those types of people. Anyway. Yeah. My mama said, if you can't say something nice about people, don't say nothing at all. So we're not going to talk about those people. But you don't get your movie like, like Moses. That was a good story. I watched Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. That was good. But we still don't get, whether you love Charlton Heston or not, you don't get your gospel, your doctrine from a movie. You go to the Word of God. All right? Okay, I'm glad y'all are with me this morning. So you found Genesis chapter 6, right? We're going to start in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they looked unto them, they took unto them wives, and of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of men came unto the daughters of men, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented." Is that right? Let me look up there. Eliana has played with my sermon, so if I mispronounce a word, I've already played. I just found this out like 10 minutes ago. But I was looking, why are there so many F's just all the way across my screen? And so I had to fix some scriptures really quickly. So I have to make sure that things are typed out right. All right, so where did I leave off? I'm giving you just warning if, you know, I say something that's not in there. Six. And it repented the Lord. Okay. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man in whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and some of you may know some of those. All right. "And the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I want you to repeat that scripture after me. Are you ready? "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Oh, that's good news. That's good news. And you know, this is interesting. All right, I got to stay on task here, because if I don't, I could get off and we could be here for 3 hours. Anybody want to stay for that long? All right, y'all can stay and I'll dismiss everyone else afterwards. All right, okay, so Noah and his family were the only ones to find grace in the sight of God. The only ones. Can you imagine God looking through the earth and only finding one family to find grace in the sight of God? Now, they were the only ones that desired a relationship with the Lord. And so there are some of us who look forward to Sundays. There are some of us, you know, well, I believe we all look forward to Sundays, right? All right. But there are some of us who look forward to Sundays because it is a breath of fresh air. Because we are surrounded by so much chaos. We are surrounded by so much pain. We are surrounded by so much unbelief. We are mocked for our beliefs. We are told that what we believe is archaic. Anyone ever been told that? And sometimes we're told that by family members. Hello. Christmas, right? And so in all of this, it's coming up soon. And so in all of this, there are times that we look at our situations, we look at the chaos, and church is our refuge, where we come in and we're able to breathe in the air and know that we're not going to be under attack, that we're not going to have to constantly explain ourselves, that we're surrounded by like believers. And there's a charge in the atmosphere of the power of God. And we love that. And we may not get that anywhere else. And so, you know, but can you imagine this? Maybe you're the only believer in your office. Maybe you're the only believer in your entire company. Maybe you're mocked because you don't do the same things that everybody goes out after Friday or Saturday night after work, and they invite you and they think, you know, things of you, or mock you or make fun of you because you don't join in the same activities that they do. Or maybe you're a high school student. I went to high school one time. Yeah, I know I'm from the South, but I did get an education. And so in all of this, I remember that my classmates thought it was funny that I was saved, and funny that I wouldn't do drugs. They thought that was hilarious. They thought it was hilarious that I took a stand that I wouldn't do drugs. And they would offer me drugs all the time because they thought it was hilarious. Like, I would even hear them down the hall, watch this. And you can see the guy coming. He turns around. He's like, and he starts walking toward me. I remember, and he came toward me at my locker. He's like, "Sadler, I got something for you." I said, "Really? What?" And he pulled out a joint. He's like, "Here, smoke this. And I'm like, "No, I'm good. And he's like, "No, seriously, this is good stuff. This is really good stuff." I'm like, I'm sure it is, but I'm fine, thank you. And then he says, okay. And he walks away, and he laughs hysterically all the way back. I think he was stoned when he came to, because I mean, like, I don't know how that could be funny, but apparently it was funny to him. And then they would take such, they would laugh at me because I took a stance in high school. They would ask me, you know, when I was on the baseball team and football until I lost too much weight, and then I couldn't do my job anymore. And so in all of this, I remember even on the football team, they would talk about the people, the guys that they were with, but it could not have happened because that would mark out every female in our school. Okay, no. They talked a big game, and they would make fun of me because I would tell them, they would say, who have you, what is going on, what did you do? And I'm like, well, you know, I believe that's for marriage. If you thought they made fun of me for drugs, you should have saw that one. It was like I was a unicorn, you know? And so they mocked me over and over, but it didn't bother me none. I was fine. You know, I'm me. I don't fit in a lot of areas. And so I'm just kind of used to that. So in all of this, can you imagine, as much as you've ever been mocked, as much as you've ever been ostracized, as much as you've ever felt like you're from the outside looking in, Noah was the only man that sought after the righteousness of God. Yes. The only one. I've heard this statement. I've heard, it's irresponsible for Christians to get married in this day and age and have children. Y'all never heard that. Oh, wow. I'm glad for you. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and it would be wrong for us to raise children in a world like this. I've heard that. And this is my statement on that. Let me just give it to you. I'm glad none of y'all have heard that. There was such a gasp in the audience here. Let me tell you something. God was able to keep Noah and his family, and they were the only ones to serve God. The only ones that wanted a relationship with the Lord. I would just say this. How about this? Just live your life and don't let the world stop you from doing anything that is a desire of your heart. Because God will place desires in your heart and He will cause them to come to pass. And you don't, you know, so many people get so worried. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just chill out for a little while. Just settle down, breathe, and stop running around like Chicken Little. The world is falling. God, listen, the Bible is, we reference to the word. The children of Israel, when the whole Egypt, all of Egypt went dark, one place had light. It was Israel.
That's right.
When all the water turned into blood, one place had drinkable water. Israel.
Yeah.
When all the plagues, there was a plague of, I'm going to try to get this right because y'all make fun. Hail. Say that right. Hail. You understood it.
Yeah.
Hail fell from heaven. And it was on fire, if you read the Bible. Fire and ice originated from the Bible. Not water, fire and ice together. Fell from heaven. Fell all over Egypt. Burned things. Set things on fire. Crops burned down. You know whose crops wouldn't burn down? Israel's. When death visited Egypt and killed the firstborn of every child, Egypt experienced, the people of God did not. They did not. 1,000 may fall. Now, they were in a midst of turmoil. And let me say this too. It also pointed them out who they were. In times of trouble, people will notice that you don't act the same as they do. People will begin to notice you don't respond the same way they do. People, when the stock market does whatever it does, jumps high or low, you're not the one jumping out the window. And people will begin to notice there's something peculiar about you. You don't think the whole world thought something was peculiar about Noah? The only man to talk about a God. Now, it's interesting, but this ran in Noah's family. Did you realize that? Noah, who was the great-grandfather of Noah? Enoch. My little Bible studies. Enoch. Enoch. Enoch is one of the only men, he was the first man that we ever have account of not dying. Just communing with the Lord and not come back. I have a theory he's going to die, but I have a theory. He is, in the New Testament of Revelations, the two prophets, I believe the ones that die and then raise again, I believe Enoch will be one of them. I believe Elijah will be the other one, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But these are the two recollection of men that have gone to heaven and have not died. Interesting, huh? So anyway, Enoch followed the Lord. Enoch produced who? Son? Longest living man on the face of the earth? Methuselah. Methuselah. And the name Methuselah actually means, if you directly translate it from the Hebrew, it means man of arrow or man of missile or basically man of destruction. The direct translation. The man who lived the longest, and back then, names actually meant something, you know? They did mean something. They named them after something. And so God prophesied. You can find this if you do an intensive study on Enoch. You'll find out that God told Enoch about the destruction to come. Not only did he tell him about the destruction to come, he also told him about Jesus Christ and the salvation of all humanity. He told him about both these. And Enoch, actually, there's not a whole lot about Enoch, but even Enoch shows up in the New Testament. And Enoch talks about the two things of the destruction and then also the destruction of fire, which we also know is the last day of the earth. So there's God told him the gospel. God told Abraham the gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only Jesus. So there, God told people in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so Enoch got it from the Lord. He named his son Methuselah, which basically translated into English that makes sense is the mankind shall live and with his fall, the end shall come. So he prophesied that when Methuselah would die, that is when the flood would come, the destruction of earth. And then so Methuselah had a son, and then that guy had Noah. And Noah meant they shall be comfort. And so then we're talking about a long time. God prophesied, and it took a long time for it to come to pass. Can you imagine? And some of us, we're like, God said he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I just got out of church about an hour, and nothing has happened. And DSW is having a sale. Wow, we have people who love shoes. You know, that really saddens my heart a little bit that that's the loudest holler I got this whole service. I'm talking about Jesus, and you shout about shoes. We're gonna have to have a whole Bible study on this one. Okay. All right. So now listen to this. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. The eyes, verse 8 says this, but we'll get to verse 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You don't have to turn there. You can write this down if you want to. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Grace is a teacher. I want to say that one more time. Grace is a teacher. If you're saying you're living by the grace of God and you're not learning anything, I'm going to start questioning about how much you're living by the grace of God.
Right.
Now, notice what the grace of God is going to teach us. Teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. A lot of people treat grace like it's the ability to keep sinning. Like it's the ability to stay in your mess. Grace is not the ability to stay living in sin. Grace is the ability to destroy sin. Mm. Grace does not cover, it destroys. It preserves and it destroys. Do you know when you preserve something, you're destroying something else? Oh, let me say that again. When you preserve food, you're destroying the bacteria and all that stuff that would devour, that would cause it to spoil. You destroy that would corrupt it. And you preserve that which is good. When God saved Noah, he preserved that which was good, but the rest of the world received damnation because of it. I thought I'd throw it back to the old King James. It destroyed them, but it preserved Noah. Can I tell you something? Some people are going to be upset with you because God's going to preserve you, and they're going to question why it didn't happen for them. And some people be upset with you because of that. Some people don't even like. Can I tell you this? This is a church that believes in the healing power of God. We have people in here who have amazing testimonies. And there have been people that get upset because Pookie didn't make it, but you did. Ain't so-and-so didn't make it. Saint of God. And I don't question that they're a saint of God. I don't know their life. And I don't even know. I've been through some hard times in my life. And even with sicknesses. And it would have been easy to go home and be with the Lord. It would have been easy to accept that. But the healing power of God does not change.
That's right.
It does not change. All right. And there will be some that will love it and some that will curse it. Man, this is, aren't you glad you got to church this morning?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, I know the world's in bad condition today. And you turn on Christian television, I'm sure you can figure it all out. You watch CNN, the news, they'll tell you. They'll tell you about ISIS. They'll tell you about the training camps. They'll tell you about the shootings that go on in schools and in the malls and everywhere else, and how people are setting themselves up against us. This is not new. This has been in the earth forever. This has been since the beginning of time. You know, I could imagine CNN in the beginning. Can you imagine them? Like, you know, Adam and Eve are here and CNN's on the face of the earth. They, you know, text alerts. Everything goes out. Reverse 911 calls. I'm not against these things. I think it's great. But, you know, all this stuff happens. And then the news, you know, your phone flashes, all this reports. We just had a murder. Brother, rise up against brother. You know, it happens. It happens. It's been happening. It's going to continue to happen. But can I tell you this? It's not as bad as the day of Noah. It's not as bad as the day of Noah. You might think your life has been bad and that you've seen a lot of bad stuff. Noah's day was worse. Evil ruled the world, and God said every thought of man was evil. Every thought of man was evil. All right, y'all found Genesis 6 and 9, right where y'all are supposed to be. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Let's jump down to verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Corrupt here just means no morality, spoiled, ruined, or destroyed. For all flesh had corrupted his ways unto the upon the earth. Now listen, we still have the decision today. Mankind still has the decision to follow God or corrupt his ways. Mankind still has that decision today. Can you imagine living on the earth where every person except your family has chosen to walk down the path of destruction? You think it's tough now? Noah had it tougher. Talk about being isolated, separated, set apart. Noah was. So let's look back up at verse 5. I know I got you jumping to a lot of different scriptures here. But look up at verse 5. You're right there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was never a moment that man was thinking about the things of God. It was always upon evil. Now, turn back with me to Genesis 1. I want you to see something. So we have five chapters here, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6. We have five chapters. And in the beginning, we're going to look at Genesis 1 and 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what?
Very good.
It was very good. Can I say something? God don't create something that he doesn't do it very good. God created a world. God created people. He said, it is very good. Just a side note. God showed Adam, took Adam to a certain point in the garden and showed him gold. And he also said, this gold is very good. So there's people who said, you shouldn't have all that stuff. Well, God said it was good and even made it a point to show Noah where, Noah, why do we keep going back to him? Adam, where it was. All right. Y'all with me? Now, between verses, or chapter 1 and chapter 5, we went from everything being very good to everything being corrupt. Not a big period of time in man's history. Corruption was quick. Corruption was fast. People fell into their own lust and desires. Let's go back to Genesis 6 and 9. I know you're jumping, but I have a point, I promise. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I want to say this. We already pointed back, Enoch walked with God. And you know, so many people, sometimes Christians get in this mentality where they talk about curses. Have you ever Have you ever been there? People talk about curses. I need you to break a curse over my life. I need you to do this. I've been asked that. And, you know, I'm not denying that things run in families. Absolutely, there are things that run in families. But how about this? How about let's start looking at the good?
That's right.
Let's start looking at the good. You know, my parents walked in the things of God, and they were blessed. And that same blessing is on my life. My grandparents walked in the things of the Lord. My great-grandparents walked in the things of the Lord. My great-grandmother was a Pentecostal preacher. When women were not allowed to be in the Pentecostal movement. You know what kept her in? I'm just going to tell y'all this. Because she owned everything. She owned the property. She owned the church. And the denomination said, we will overlook the fact that you're a woman. And she said, thank you. She wore makeup and earrings. Another thing that put a nail in her coffin. You know what they said about earrings? They were stirrups for the devil to put its feet in and ride your brain. Yeah. That's what they said. Religion will bind you up and kill you. But they will overlook it if you have money. We're like, what? You still pay your tithe to the church? We will overlook this. And you know what they did in the directories? They always had directories. They listed my great-grandfather as the pastor. And not her. But she was the minister. So, you know, that blessing that was on my life, that has ran from family to family and to generation, that goodness, that knowledge of God still runs in my life today. Hey, my testimony is not that I've been delivered from alcohol and drugs and all this, and that I was a heroin addict and all that. You know, God did deliver me from it, but before I ever got to it, he got rid of it in my life. And so my testimony is that my family has always walked with the Lord. And I walked with the Lord because of what my family raised me to do. They showed me the good, and the blessing that was in my family continues to flow in my family. Now, you may be the first generation to know the Lord. Well, thank the Lord. Well, first of all, when you got saved, the blessing of God came upon you. The blood of Jesus came upon your life and broke every curse that was in your family. If there was a curse, the blood of Jesus took care of it. He made a blood transplant. He took you out of the family that you were in. Now, don't you go home and say, you ain't none of my family. Get out of here. Get out of this house. You're not my family. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, if there was a curse, if there was something that ran in your family, he took you out of that, put you into the family of God. And he said, in this family, there are no curses. In this family, there are no diseases. In this family, you live to a ripe old age. You don't go home early like Aunt Tukey. None of y'all have an Aunt Tukey. What's wrong with y'all people? You follow the things of the Lord in this family, and the only thing that runs in your blood is the blessing of Jesus Christ. He says, my way destroys the yoke of bondage. My way is easy, and that's what the Lord has done for you. Now, Genesis, we looked at Genesis 6. Noah was perfect. Now, don't get upset with that word. A lot of people get upset with the word perfect. Perfect. Perfect does not mean with no flaws. Actually, a diamond. How many of you people would say diamonds are pretty perfect? They have flaws in them. They're not glass. You want something that doesn't have flaws? Get glass. Just like I did for my wife. She didn't even budge. I thought she would have a response, but she did not. Now, Noah was a just man and walked with the Lord. And God called him perfect. Can I tell you this? God calls you perfect. That bothers a lot of Christians. That bothers a lot of denominations. Oh, wait. God calls me perfect? No, I'm not perfect. Mankind is not perfect. And what scripture do they go to? Your righteousness as rags, filthy rags in the nostrils of God. It is a stench. Mankind's righteousness is a stench in the smell of God. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Because I don't come to the Lord in my righteousness. I come to the Lord by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's by the blood of Jesus. I can't make myself righteous. I can't do it. And the moment that I rely on my own self to be perfect, what is in my mind, I will fail every time. And not only will I fail, but I will have a reason to discount me. I will have a reason to put myself out and say, you know, I messed up too much. I don't have it right. I've made the wrong decisions. So we start to condemn our own self. And, you know, so many people think the devil's, you know, in your life doing so much. And I agree, he's there. But I think the majority, he's a cheerleader cheering you on to continue to do what you're doing. Yeah,
that's right.
Kill yourself, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. And you're making decisions and you condemn yourself. And he's like, you're right. Yeah, look at all those problems you lived in. You know, we've got to start applying the word of God. What is right? Is it the way you feel or is it the word of God? If you feel anything different than the word of God, what you feel is wrong and the word of God is correct. If what you say about you is different than what God says about you, guess who missed it? It wasn't the Lord. So if the Lord calls you perfect, you are perfect. I'm not perfect. People will fight you all day long saying that the Lord looks at you and thinks you're perfect. Oh, no, 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 no. The Lord knows me. Yes, he knows you. And he calls you perfect. Do you not make mistakes? Yeah, we make mistakes. But God also put 1 John 1:9 in there that if we would ask for forgiveness, God is faithful to forgive us. That's good news. Genesis 12, verse 12 says, Abraham believed in the Lord. And chapter 12, Abraham believed in the Lord and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Noah did the same thing. He believed in the Lord and it made him righteous. Confession unto salvation still works today the same way. Believing unto righteousness, confession unto salvation. Mm-hmm. Romans. Genesis 6 tells us he was just and he was perfect. Noah walked with the Lord. Now, let's turn to Hebrews 11. I'm going to end with this chapter here. Hebrews 11. Now, this is the chapter that they call the heroes of faith. This lists all the great believers before us. And for those who think that my great grandmother, a Pentecostal preacher, was not allowed to be in the ministry, I'm going to show you something here. First person to ever carry the gospel of Jesus Christ was Mary for 9 months. First person to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was to his unbelieving disciples. His disciples that were, sad and mourning and crying that everything they thought was going to happen didn't happen. Who was the first person that told them that Jesus Christ rose from the grave? That's preaching. That is the gospel. It was a woman. A woman was the first one to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He is not in the grave. Hebrews 11 adds Rahab in there, a great woman of faith. You know, I've said this. If I was writing my genealogy and I had a Rahab, I would probably, leave her out. Rahab, she was so good at her job that her title was in her name. Some of you ask your mom when you leave if you want to know what Rahab did. It was there. You didn't just say Rahab. You finished with her job. I would have probably left that out of my genealogy. But God put it in. And that's good hope to all humanity. God did not etch out or white out the mistakes of his people. He kept them in the word. He showed it to them. Because I think he wanted to show us, look, you're going to have problems. You're going to have mistakes. Some of them are going to be really big. Like Rahab here. But she was vital. Not only how vital she was, if you trace the genealogy of Jesus, she's in the direct family line, the direct bloodline of Jesus Christ himself. And God got to choose any bloodline he wanted. And he chose that one. And he calls her a great person of faith. All right, so Hebrews chapter 1. Are you ready? Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. These people had the word of God. They believed the word more than what they could see. We always read the word with the mentality like these people, they knew what was going to happen. They're just like us. They have the word. They had the exact word that you have. You have more of it. But they had the exact word. They didn't have anything extra. But we almost pretend, we almost read it like they knew the outcome. They didn't know exactly how it was going to come to pass. They just knew the word was going to perform. And that God was going to do the work that he promised. They didn't know how. They just knew it was. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who are these elders? Everybody he's listed. Abraham, Noah, Rahab, Moses, all these people. They received a good report. Can I tell you something? In life, you're going to receive bad reports. You're going to go to the doctor and get a bad report. You're going to go to family reunions, get bad reports. Christmas, bad reports. Every family function, you're going to get some bad reports. Now, I know not you. I'm talking about other churches and their people. Yeah. But you're going to get some bad reports. And if you think Noah didn't get any bad reports, if you think Abraham didn't get any bad reports, if you think Rahab didn't get any bad reports, you don't think anyone wanted to share in love with Rahab? Be like, Rahab, I need to share this with you in love. If a Christian tells you that, you probably want to say, hold on one moment, walk away and never come back. Because for the majority, they don't want to share in love. They just want to be mean and hateful, and they want to mask it with the word love. Our prayer requests are dangerous as well. I'm not talking, you know, if you have a prayer request, that's fine. But some people want to share their prayer requests, and all they want to do is gossip. Anyway, let's continue. So, we have here where these people received bad reports. They received that there were giants in the land. They received every reason why they could never do it. And you're going to be told why you could never do it. Let me give you a couple of reasons why I was told I could not start this church up here. Are you ready? One, listen to your accent. I just saw someone do this. I will ask you what that meant after service. Be like, less. Yeah, I know what it means. I don't need any commentary. But I remember that was one of them. Another of them was that they told me, they said, look, they're going to hear you say one word. They're going to believe that you barefooted, none of those teeth are yours. You run around the backwoods. You've never got any education. You made it to the sixth grade. You go to family reunions to find dates. I mean, it's not funny because it's true. That's exactly what they told me. They said, they're not going to receive from you. You don't sound right to them. I got another one. It's too cold up there. You were raised in Florida. You've never seen snow. When they sing about dreaming of a white Christmas, you thought it was the beaches of Florida. I got told every reason why I would never make it up here. I got told every reason. People just, you're just different, son. I got told that. I got told I would never make it in the world. Most of you know my testimony, diagnosed with dyslexia, told I would never make it, told I would never be able to read, and all that. I've had people tell me constantly why I would never make it in life. And my mother, I thank God for my parents. I remember my mother would tell me, son, this is why you're going to do well. And I remember when I was diagnosed with dyslexia, one of the things she did, she took me before the elders of the church and they laid hands on me, anointed me with oil and prayed. And the prayer, what does the Bible say? The prayer of the faithful, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, I wasn't sick, but there was something wrong with me. And God corrected it. God corrected it to this day. I can read. Praise the Lord. That's something they told me I'd never be able to do. Whose report are you going to believe? As for me, I will believe the report of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. We do not discount reality. I like to tell people this. We're not Christian Science, we're Christian Sense. I believe in doctors. I believe in knowledge. I believe in medication. I think it's great, but I'm going to follow after the Lord. And doctors will tell you you're going to die, and God will tell you you're going to live. And, you know, I've had people say, well, then I'm going to get rid of all my medication. Don't do that. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. And also, we have learned that, there are so many fish in, they did a research in California that so many of the fish have hormones and antibiotics and all this in their system because people flush their medication. Stop flushing your medication. The fish are higher than you are. That's ridiculous. And And so in all of this, my point is, all this is, unless you heard from God, you don't get off the medication. You follow what the, because that is not, God doesn't expect you to check your brain at the door. He gave you a brain to use. The thing is, the Bible tells us we can retrain our senses to discern good and evil. So our senses has always been in this world. And when we get saved, we take our senses out of the world and we put them into the things of God. So we renew our mind to filter everything we see and do through the Word of God. We teach our senses to see the Word into all circumstances. We don't deny the circumstances, but we never deny the power of God. We always go with what the Lord says over what anyone else says. And the church says, amen. Amen. Now, let's go back to Genesis. So that you will have bad reports. You will have bad reports. In life, you're almost promised that you're going to have bad reports. But the good news is God says that there is a word that he will give you, the word of God that he has already given you, that is a good report. And just like Abraham, you have the ability to choose. Am I going to listen to the good report or am I going to focus on the bad? Just like Moses leading the children of Israel into the land that floweth with milk and honey. He sent out a team of people, a bunch of people. And every one of them came back with a negative report except for one. They said, we can take the land. And everybody else said, they're giants. We're grasshoppers in their sight. And this morning, you may feel like a grasshopper in the sight of the chaos and the problems in your life. But God says, you will take the land. Amen. You will be victorious. You will overcome. So whose report shall you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Right. So going back to Genesis 6. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got y'all out too quick. Go back. Your electronic Bible, it should be easy. I want to look at Noah on verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Now, this is one scripture here, one verse about Noah in the New Testament, but it is so packed full, and I'm going to try to get through it all quickly. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. What is God talking about? Very simple. Rain. He's talking about the rain. Things not seen. He told, can you imagine never seeing rain and being told about rain? Can you imagine telling your friends who have never seen rain it's going to rain? The water, the Bible tells us that water came up like dew, like we have already, and it watered everything that needed to be watered. And then you're going to tell the whole world the world is going to be destroyed. Now, this is something. Can you imagine this? I think about Christians. I think about myself in situations like this. If I was in Noah's place, the only person who believed in God on the face of the earth, and then I have a communication, little powwow with the Lord, and the Lord says, all right, look, Tim, it's going to rain. Well, what's rain? Well, it's like the dew, but it's going to fall from the heavens. Well, we've never seen that before. I know, but it's coming. And then he's like, I want you to tell the whole world. Because God would have saved everybody who wanted to get on. Everybody who would have served him, he would have saved them. And we're not talking about, you know, like a year to build the boat. It took a long time. It took over 100 years. And so Noah is building something and telling his neighbors it's going to rain. But like, Noah, we considered it like, you know, the first month you talked about it. But you're out of your mind. It's been 100 years, Noah. Crazy old Noah down the street. But like, kids, we're not going trick-or-treating over there. Because I don't know what Noah's going to give you. Maybe it's tiny arcs. All right. But could you imagine your connection with the Lord, and then the Lord tells you, hey, it's going to rain, but hey, I want you to tell people too. Oh, Lord, I'm the only one that believes in you. I'm the only one that follows your way. Thanks for singling me out even more. I think that would have been the average Christian. Be like, seriously, I got to make myself even look more like a fool than I already look like to all humanity. Noah followed after the things of God. And so, things not seen as of yet. Moved with fear. Now, we have had several topics on this that we've talked about fear. If you look that word fear up, it actually means reverence. Reverence. Not like, because people in our day in English, when we hear the word fear, we think of like, you know, a scary movie, a horror movie, fear. Like, some people do fear their fathers, maybe because their father was so tough and so rough on them. They were afraid that if they messed up that their father would beat them. Or somebody was going to physically beat them. And then they bring that into the Lord and they hear this and they hear that Noah was afraid. And that same thought comes on them like, oh, if I don't do what God told me, he's going to beat the tar out of me. That's not what fear means in this definition. It means reverence. Now, I reverence my father. I love my father. I love my mother. They have told me sometimes to do things that I thought were a little crazy, but I did them anyway. You want to know why? Because I reverence them. I love them. In this definition, we could use the word I fear them, but not that kind of fear. So Noah did what he did out of reverence for the Lord. In other words, he says, I trust God so much that this does not make sense in the natural. It makes no sense to build a boat. I've never seen rain, and I got 100-something years to build this ship, this ark. I got 100-something years, and it's not going to rain for 100-something years. Do you think there might have been a day he thought, yeah, I could go 5 months and not work on it? But like, let's take the family to Disney. Let's take a 5-month break here. Let's go. You know, I've been hearing about this new city, Sodom. Let's go check it out. Gomorrah. They're supposed to be like the Twin Cities. Let's, you know, take the family on a vacation. I hear it's, you know, they got some fun things going on over there. He could have stopped halfway through. He could have reasoned himself out of it. But he was faithful because he knew the Lord. And we'll tell you something. It's great to be saved. It's great. And there are people who do not have a relationship with God that are saved. They're saved. They have a religion with God. And they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. But I'm afraid that if they would face something like Noah, religion ain't strong enough to hold you. You better know who God is. And the reason why Noah did not turn away from what God called him to do was he didn't have a religion with God. He had a relationship with God. He learned how to walk with God from his father, and from his father. All the way back to Enoch, he learned how to walk with God. And so, now listen, prepared an ark, saving of his house, because what he did saved other people. When you are faithful to God, it never affects just you. Never. It will affect your family, but it'll even go out beyond that. It will affect your friends. It will affect your mom, your dad. It will affect your workplace. Because there's some things that even your workplace know you're going through. And they're here like, there's no way for them to make it out of this. No way. And because you made it out, all of a sudden, when they get in a hard time, they want to know how you did it. It affects more than you. And I will say this. If your faithfulness affects more than you, your sin affects more than you. I know we don't want to talk about it. I know. We're moving on. Now listen. By which he condemned the world. The saving of his family, but it condemned the world. Remember when I told you, when you save something, you condemn something else? Because the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. The Bible tells us to renew our mind. To renew our mind. We don't remove it. We renew it. And we have to have a relationship with the Lord, not a religion with God. We must have a relationship with him. Now, the ark to the saving of his house, it condemned other people. People get upset about your blessing. They shouldn't, but they do. And it's for many reasons. You can't just pin it down to one. Sometimes some people are just in competition. And they believe, oh, and this is, I've heard this one. This one's terrible. I don't like this one at all. I grew up in church, so I got to hear a lot of things. I got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of church. And I remember one time someone said, well, that testimony they told couldn't be true. They've only been saved for a year. I've been saved all my life. And if God was going to do that for somebody, he'd do it for me before he would them. If that has ever been your mentality, you need some help. You need to understand who God truly is. And that's a religion with God and not a relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells us God favors no man over another. What he does for one, he'll do for all. Oh, that should make you excited about the good things that God has done in this world. I'm going to read to you. You can write this down. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together. We sang this morning. Work together for the good of them that love who? God. Can I tell you something? The ark worked for the good of them who love the Lord.
The rain worked for the good of them who loved the Lord. Yes, some were condemned, but some were saved. And I'll tell you something. There's a rain that's coming. And there's trials and tribulations that are coming. But God will save you from it all. Can I tell you, have you ever heard of types and shadows? If you study the Bible, there's types and shadows of Jesus in there. The ark is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. The family, Noah's family, had to be in the ark. As the children of Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus as our Savior. He is a Son of God. And we do, the Bible tells us, we are in God. We are in Jesus. We become the family of God. And so when the floods come, a lot of people's going to notice the flood. A lot of people's going to notice the trial. I'm not going to say you're not going to feel the rocking of the trial. But what I will say is you will be saved from it. And if you go into it, you'll study. God also told Noah to put this type of tar material on the inside, waterproofing. When you're in, you're covered, smeared on. The Bible says anointing. The word anointing means to smear on, to rub in, to smear on. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. We're in the family of God. And storms will come to this world, but we shall be saved. God wants, you know, the scripture says, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. No matter how bad things are going to get, when the lights get darker, when the world gets darker, the light gets brighter.
Right.
You know, if I lit up a match right here, you would see it. Wouldn't be that impressive. But if we turned every light in this place off, including the stage lights, all of a sudden that light becomes very important. So you may have felt like, how can God see me through all the chaos? Never listen to the enemy that the eyes of God are not upon you. Because when all the world was in chaos, the eyes of God stopped at Noah and his family. When God is looking in, he scans the earth all the time. The word says he does. The word says he looks through this whole world looking for someone to show himself strong to. That's the word. When he's looking through the world, he stops when he comes to you. And he says, Jesus, I have someone to show myself strong to. He stops to every one of us. If you believe the word of God, he stops. If you love the Lord, he stops. If your heart is to please the Lord, when he looks over this world, he stops right here. He may see all the mess that's going on. He may see the trouble with all the nations of the world, all the lying, the deceit, the corruption, the people who are looking after their own interests, who have no godly thoughts in them, scans the whole world. When he comes to you, he stops and he says, Jesus, I found someone to show myself strong to. God stops when he comes to you. When his eyes scan over this earth, he's focused on you. He zooms in on you. Have you ever used Google Earth? And you zoom in. What'd you do? You went and looked at your own house. You could see the whole world and you looked at your own house. You know, you didn't go to the Eiffel Tower. You went to your house. Oh, look, my car. I wonder where that was done. You went to your house. I know, I did it too. It's kind of like God's just zoom in. And once he focuses on you, he never takes his eyes off. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You might have thought, God can't see me through the chaos. He's focused on you. You might say, well, God can't see me because my past is too big. My past is too filled for God to see me where I am. Don't you ever believe that lie. Because let me tell you, you want to know about your past? I'm going to finish with this. Let me tell you about your past. God says, when you accept him as your Savior, the old man is dead and passed away. You know what you do with buried things, or dead things? You bury it. You get rid of it. You incinerate it. You get rid of it. You don't leave dead things just lying around. Your life, God, that old you, is got rid of. He doesn't see it. It's not in his presence. So he doesn't focus on your past. Your past is dead. The only person trying to dig the dead thing up and play around with it is you. Look at my past. I was horrible. Yeah, you were. But the key is you were. You no longer are. You are no longer that old you. You are new, and God sees the new.
Yeah.
He doesn't see the old. He sees the new. He sees the blood of Jesus. Is that, well, my righteousness is... Yeah, yours is, but you're not in yours.
That's right.
Have you ever put on a really ugly suit and then took it off and put on a really good suit? That really good suit looks good. It fits you. When you try to walk in your own righteousness, you're in that really ugly suit. Doesn't fit right. Doesn't look right. Probably smells rattled, tore. I don't know why. We just purged some of my clothes. I went through. I found, I think, 7 or 8 pairs of jeans with holes all in the legs. And I kept holding them on. And my excuse was, I will use them for working. I'll use them for cutting grass. And finally, my wife was like, how much work are you going to do around the house that you need this many pairs of jeans with holes in them? So I got rid of most of them. I kept 2 so I can still cut the grass and something. Thank you. But in all of this, we go back to the thing that is dead and we're holding on to it. And God is like, why are they still playing with dead things? So we get rid of that. And God sees us right where you are. He's focused on you. He has a plan for your future. He has a destiny for you to fulfill. And nothing can take you off track. Think of the major problem that you're facing right now. What is the biggest problem you're facing? Just everybody mentally focus in on that problem. You got it? It's not big enough to keep you out of the kingdom of God. It's not big enough to stop you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Nothing. Every name that has a name shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus. So if you have a problem, a mountain that's standing before you, God says, speak to the mountain, cast it into the sea, and it shall obey you. So whatever has a name has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for everybody that is here. I thank you, Father, for the power of Jesus that is in this place.